Welcome to The Hitch, the podcast about navigating life's challenges on the road.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back.
We are back.
It's another week.
In the basement.
Back in the basement.
But you know what? Next week, we're going to be outside of Madison,
yeah.
Wisconsin.
We're going to be back in Evangeline. Yeah. So next week, we'll do a little travelogue.
Yay.
But this week, and you might hear the heat going.
Yeah, it's really cold. We've already had our
it is,
first frost.
Yeah, it is cold here in Chicago this weekend.
It is cold.
Hopefully, the fact that we have not yet winterized the trailer is not a problem.
I know. We
I don't think
know.
It's going to be a problem.
Probably not.
Because it's not like we're getting like a hard freeze right
no.
now. But we're back. And we are back with part two of questions that we had from Miles from Denver and Susie from Detroit last week about both of them are thinking about, you know, looking into getting a trailer and a tow vehicle and all of that. So and wanted advice. Last mm-hmm. week we talked about how we ended up with the setup that we have. And this week we wanted to talk about all of the other possibilities.
So
you know,
many
one
options.
Of the things that we said last week was, you know, our setup is not the setup. Like it was the right setup for us at the time that we moved on it. And a lot of that was really driven by sort of the YOLO feeling of like literally YOLO.
This.
Like
yeah.
you know, like you've
just
been
this.
Diagnosed with cancer and we've talked about doing this for a long time and we should just do it. We had almost moved on a bunch of different trailers and things
yeah.
before. And so
I sometimes wonder how long we would have kept going just looking and looking and looking if I hadn't had that diagnosis.
Yeah.
Not saying I'm glad I had cancer,
no.
but it did sort of
it
light a fire.
It clarified some stuff.
It clarified
sure.
some stuff. It lit a fire under yeah. us to actually do it.
And we should probably point out you just had your first
I did
your first mammogram since
yep.
since cancer and
everything's good.
Yeah.
Everything's clear.
So that is awesome.
Yeah. That was a good feeling. That was a
year,
good feeling.
A year since. So
yeah, that was awesome. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
yeah.
But enough about cancer.
Yeah.
Let's talk trailers.
Let's do it. So how do you want to do this, Dan? Do you want to talk about the different types first, or do you want to just jump into some of the ones that we considered?
I mean, maybe we should at least kind of get into
get a kinda overview.
Type-based
yeah.
terminology and stuff, because otherwise it will get very confusing very fast for
yeah.
folks that have not started doing any real trailer research. So yeah, talk us through the types.
Well, what I remember when we first started looking, just being like, what does all this mean? Like,
yeah.
like I would go to like an RV site and it would have a drop down menu of like, you know, you
yeah.
could limit your search by class B or class A and class C. And I had no idea what any of that
yeah.
meant. Like I just
yeah.
knew that some you pulled a trailer and some were motorized.
Right.
You know, and it turns out that there's a lot of different categories and they have specific characteristics. And we'll do it quickly because
yeah.
you can also do a quick Google search and find so many people want to tell you about
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
But basically, there's class A, class B. Well, let's just talk about them as I bring
well,
them
up. Well, these are the motorized.
These
are motorhomes.
We're talking about motorhomes and then we'll talk about trailers
yeah.
as well. And trailers being what you pull with
yeah.
your tow vehicle. Okay, so class A, those are the big ones, the real big
yeah, they
motorhomes.
Look like, they look like
they look
tour
like
tour
buses
for like Led Zeppelin.
And
yeah.
I really want to drive one someday.
Yeah.
So if you have a class A that I can just like drive around the block, please.
The craziest
let us
thing
know.
About motorized recreational vehicles
yeah
is you don't need any training or any special license to drive them, and some of the class A's are like the size of
they're
a
huge
city bus.
I mean they're huge.
I mean they are the same platform that like a big motor coach is built on
yeah.
it's the same thing.
I mean some
and
of
those
are
who
like
need a commercial
yeah,
license
they're like
to drive
50 to 70 feet yeah. long. I mean they're
I don't know about 70
to some
huge.
Of them I don't know
no,
some of the
70 is gigantic.
I don't know what I'm talking about
yeah.
but they're huge. I mean
yeah.
they're massive, but
yeah.
some of the campsites, well, I guess campsites are longer
yeah.
usually than the, anyway. They're huge. And you don't need a special license. You don't need any training.
No.
It's really insane.
They're really big. They're also, by and large, the ones that we've gone into, they are like crazy fancy. And they cost the price of a small house.
Crazy fancy. Yeah. They're either gas or diesel. They're crazy expensive. They can go up to like $500,000. Yeah. I mean, they're so expensive. But they're typically for people from... my read on them, it's oftentimes older retired people, and this is their home.
Right.
Like, and they've, you know, put a lot in, because it's funny that some of the biggest ones actually sleep the fewest number of people.
Yeah.
We looked at a bunch of them just for fun, like when we were at RV shows or on a lot somewhere at a dealer, we would walk into them because our 13-year-old loved going into them because they were always like the super fancy ones with like the marble floors and, you know, like three different bathrooms and one. And, they would have like one bed. That's it. Like they could sleep like three or four people maybe with if you use the couch. But, you know, some of these smaller ones are really packing in it. Anyway, so they tend to be like insanely expensive and insanely big. Class B, those are your sprinter vans, your super fancy ones that you see oftentimes Mercedes. It's basically a camper van.
It's a van conversion of some kind.
It's a van conversion. Yeah. I say sprinter just because like that's
the
like,
one you see a lot.
That's the one you see a lot. But basically they're camper vans, you know, like an old VW camper van would be a class B.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like, and they're great. I mean,
They keep the full footprint of the van that they were converted from.
Right.
Right. Like there's no extra parts sticking out, like it's the size of the van that it started from.
I mean, sometimes they pop up a little, don't they? Sometimes they
if
do.
You park them, they may have slide outs, they may have pop-ups and stuff like that, but when it's driving, it's the size of the van. I think that's the real classifier of what a B is.
Right.
It's like it's basically a vehicle, normal vehicle.
Right. And that has a lot of advantages in terms of where you're driving. You're not towing anything. You're just like in your car. The disadvantages are pretty obvious. They're smaller.
They're pretty small inside.
And they typically only sleep two people.
Yeah. And some of them can really be surprisingly pricey.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
For the size that they are, you know, like it does seem like that, at least in our looking, like they're often really like luxury models. Which is funny because to me, if I had to go motorized, I'd go with
Class C.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was asleep on the job there. Class C's are the ones, they're typically built on a Ford chassis. They have the overhead
like a Ford van chassis.
So they're a little wider, and they also have the identifying characteristic is they have that over cab bunk.
Right.
That's like hangs over typically. I mean, they don't all have that, but I love that.
Yeah.
Like when I was
like go.
Oh, I was just going to say when I was a kid, I used to fantasize about like sleeping in that bed. They typically have a bed when you walk in, like over the cab area. And those are great. They sleep a lot of people for the size.
And they're like, and Class C, like if you've seen motorhomes driving around, and they don't look like a tour bus, you're seeing a Class C, right?
Yeah.
They typically have that kind of like Ford Econoliner front look, but then there's like a big bulbous thing on the back.
Those Cruise America ones or whatever,
exactly.
Those are all Class C.
Any of the rental ones are all Class C.
Yeah, the ones that are built on a Ford van and then just have that overhanging thing.
And the thing that's cool about them is they're big without being enormous.
Right.
And they are, like, the ones that we've gone in, like, there was one that we really kind of fell in love with for a while at an RV
place. That
was
the Thor one.
It was a Thor.
Yeah,
I forget exactly
nice.
What it was. But it was, like, super nice inside, surprisingly well-designed. It had slide-outs so a slide-out is, like, a panel that, when you're parked, actually, like,
moves outwards
and expands the size of the interior. And so there was, some Class C's have a real kind of TARDIS thing going on.
Yeah, where it's they like, get...
they're remarkably large inside.
Yeah. And they have typically have really good layouts. Like, with that extra, like, double bed over the driving area, that's, like, a whole little bedroom there.
Yeah.
And then there's usually, you know, sometimes there's bunks. I don't know. I've seen them sleep easily six people.
Yeah.
And that's great.
And still have like a nice kitchen and a bathroom and all of that.
The benefit, you're not towing, you're driving a vehicle.
Right.
So maybe easier to drive. I don't know. I haven't driven one. The con of that is you're driving a fairly large vehicle still, and unless you're towing, I mean, these all have the ability to tow a vehicle behind, like a smaller one,
a car.
So we seriously thought about a Class C because there are some decent priced ones.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really surprising about them, is considering that you're buying like a really beefy Ford truck.
Yeah.
Combined with a trailer, you know, like the prices are surprisingly good.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them, so you can oftentimes find sales and things like that.
But the thing that kind of stopped us, besides the fact that we wouldn't have been able to have parked it at our house,
because
it's not legal on the street here.
And that's one thing to look at if you're really considering, is check with your town if you can park it in your parking lot or
we weren't gonna tow a car behind because we had like a minivan, which isn't, you know, was probably too heavy to tow, and I work when we're on the road, and the big hang up for me with Class C is like, if you want to go anywhere, you gotta go drive your house there,
right?
You know, and like, that just wasn't gonna work if I was working, to be like, okay, you guys go, oh wait, hold on, just leave me at this picnic bench, you know, or whatever. Like, that's, I think, the thing that's tricky. And you certainly do see at campsites, especially, I feel like it's increasing in its trend, but, like, people that are towing additional cars along with them. But then you're kind of losing some of the, like, ease of driving around.
Right.
Because you're still towing something.
Right. It seems like people that get the non, like, with the idea of I don't have to tow anything, like the Class A or the Class C.
Yeah.
They end up towing
Class
something.
A's seem like they Class are A. always towing
because
something.
They're just unwieldy.
Yeah, like you're driving a bus to the
Even Class
store.
C's, honestly, like some of the, like, we love to go off and explore and do all sorts of crazy little drives and things like that. Like the Needles Highway, when we were doing that.
Right.
I mean, we couldn't have done something like that
if
we
had a Class C.
You just couldn't have done it.
It wouldn't have been wide enough.
So for us, we were like, well, even the Class C's are going to be too big on some of the roads we want to drive around on.
Yeah.
So we just decided that a trailer we can pull is a better option for us.
Yeah.
And I think it still is. Okay, so then we've got fifth wheels.
Yeah.
And these are the type, we actually ended up talking about them a lot over the
summer. You see them all the time now.
Everywhere. I feel like we used to see, like when we were camping in our tent, you know, before we had a trailer, I feel like we mostly saw trailers that people pulled.
Trailers,
pull trailers. And this summer, it was mostly fifth wheels. Like, huge.
Yeah, so fifth wheels are enormous.
They're huge.
And they have, like, they're gigantic. They're really tall.
They're
and
really
big.
Tall.
And they have a overhang that then has a hitch coming down from the overhang. And that hitch clicks into bed of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
So you have to have a pickup truck for them. And as a result, it's like the axle of a semi instead of a normal pole.
Right.
My understanding, having never driven one, we don't own a pickup truck, they are slightly more manageable because the pivot point is actually in your vehicle, so backing up and things like that is a little bit, and turning and all of that is a little bit easier. But they are all very, very,
very big.
They need
pretty expensive.
Yeah, surprisingly expensive.
Surprisingly expensive, and also you lose all of your truck bed space, so you can't. So you have limited passenger space. You have limited storage space. Of course, you could put it in your giant fifth wheel. But they're nice. I mean, they are fancy. It's like a giant house with like an upstairs.
Yeah, because the little overhang, there's always a stairs up to it. And it's either like a living room or a bedroom or whatever. But they are kind of comically large.
Yeah.
They're very tall.
For us, they just seem too big.
And also, a pickup
truck
is not a useful thing for us.
Yeah, and so, again, it just wasn't the right fit for us. But they're obviously very popular right now. That's mostly what we saw.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's the
travel trailers.
The travel trailers is what they're typically called. Those are trailers of all sizes and kinds that we'll talk about a little bit.
I have to apologize. I'm getting over a head cold right now.
Dan is getting over it, and I'm starting to get it. So we're both kind of like low energy.
Yeah.
But we're excited to talk about this. So trailers come in all different sizes and shapes, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But they have the great advantage of you park them, you detach, and you're free to drive your car around.
Yeah, and they can be towed, depending on the trailer, they can be towed by a wide variety of vehicles.
Yeah, wide variety.
You know, like we talked about last week, our trailer, you need to know the weight of a trailer,
yeah,
right? Our trailer was 6,000 pounds, which, and we didn't want to get a pickup truck. And so that dictated our tow vehicle a lot. But there are trailers that are heavier than ours and need a pickup, you know, to pull it. Or there are ones that are significantly lighter.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you can really kind of find a trailer that's going to work more or less,
yeah,
you know, as long as you're willing to compromise on size,
yeah, there's always
or that
a compromise,
sort of thing.
Yeah. We should just mention quickly that there's also something called pop-ups, which are trailers that pop up, and they're the ones that kind of look like tents that kind of fold out, and those are very lightweight and can be pulled by just about anything.
Yeah.
So that's an option.
They fold down super flat.
They're great. They're easy, but the flip is you're kind of like in a tent.
Yeah, you're tent.
So you're not
you're
really getting the benefit of
and
having
I think
a trailer.
If they have a bathroom.
Also,
it's sort of a weird little.
No, it's like a half
toilet
bath.
In a tray.
Yeah, or like I've talked about I needed. Yeah,
yeah,
that was my deal breaker. I wanted that. I wanted that bathroom. Okay, and then there's another type called a truck camper that just fits on into the bed of your truck.
Yeah, if you've ever read John Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie,
right,
he writes about that like it is this incredible modern invention, which I guess it maybe was at the time. But you've seen them on the highway. They are,
yeah,
they fit inside a pickup truck, and they're kind of cool.
They are cool.
I've always thought those are kind of cool.
They are cool, and they pop up. Some of them even pop out.
Yeah.
But they're still, like, I know there was a time when I was like, maybe, you know, we could do that. And then it's like you go inside them and they are really cool and they tend to have, you know, I mean, amazing efficiency of space, but still too small for us.
Yeah.
But if you're one or two people.
And you have a pickup truck.
And you have a pickup truck. It's a good option.
And a place to store it when.
Yeah.
It is an awkward store.
It is.
Like. It has to sit on these crazy long legs that would be where your pickup is.
Right.
So you need some sort of space that you could put that.
Yeah, unless you just left it in there all the time.
True.
House on wheels.
There you go. You always just go.
But those are all the main types.
Yeah.
And they all have pros and cons, obviously. Let's talk about some of the models that we like. That we have seen that we're like, that we thought about or think are really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
One that we very seriously considered and still really like and think they're cool are the R-Pods.
Yeah, like R-Pods are these very lightweight, relatively small. I think they're like 19 foot or 21 feet or something around there.
Yeah.
Like they don't get super big. One of them has a slide out, which actually makes it surprisingly large on the inside. But I think that one might have been just outside of our tow range. But you see a lot of R-Pods.
Yeah, you see a lot of them. They get pretty good reviews.
Yeah,
I remember looking
into
them. They're pretty nice inside. I mean, I felt like that was one of the ones. And even though they're very small, there's one model that has bunks. So,
right.
I mean, that's always the challenge for us. Yeah. We needed sleeping space for four people, even though we were trying to fit into these tiny trailers. When I think about it now, I think, you know, I think they would have worked out well, except for it would have been like, oh, this is better than tent camping, but you're still pretty smashed in there. But if you think
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, if some of these smaller models are great for getting out on the weekends, long-term, full-time living, maybe not so much,
right,
with four people and a dog, you know, that might be a little much. We would have totally made it work, but it just would have been a different kind of experience.
Right, and I think that that's a thing to really, if you're really thinking about buying a trailer, like, really being pretty honest with yourself about what you want it for,
right,
you know, and not... Like, well, someday maybe, you know, we'll live on the full time on the road. But instead, like, we knew just from our past experience, like, we will travel all summer.
Yeah.
And so we need something that we can live comfortably in at a bare minimum for a couple of months, you know. But if we were really just sort of like, this is a 2-week vacation kind of thing, maybe a few weekends here and there,
right,
you know, that's a different size trailer than the one we have, you know. And an R-Pod would have worked great for
Would have worked great.
And I do have to say, like, on this trip, I actually saw, I think, two different times R-Pods being towed by the minivan
that
we
used to
have,
yeah,
you know. So it was like, oh, that would have been
totally doable.
Yeah, it would have
been totally doable. And they're not that expensive.
No. I mean, that's the one thing. Price. Like, anyone that's looked into Airstreams, like we've said before, they're crazy expensive.
They're crazy expensive.
And they're especially crazy expensive if you start to look at the price of other trailers. Yeah. Because they are like two, three times the price of most trailers. Not fifth wheels, which are pretty equivalent in price. But like, you know, an R-Pod is surprisingly cheap for, you know, what it is. And what they all say, like all of these various trailers... Like, they're not going to last forever. An Airstream is pretty much going to last forever. And that was kind of part of our purchasing decision is like, in my mind, this is our where we live in 20 years, you know?
I mean, they last forever. Airstreams last forever, and they also retain their value very well. And a lot of these other trailers that are much less expensive, they're just not built to last.
No.
So you may have them for 5 years. You may have them for 10 years.
Super mass produced.
But
like
most,
one of the things that's super surprising if you go to like a Camping World or to an RV show or whatever, just somewhere that has a huge number of all kind of cookie cutter looking trailers, like you realize like, oh, these are almost all the same trailer. Like there's a few major companies in the field and they will make... They have a bunch of different brand names, but they're all actually
made the same trailer.
Well, they just have different finishes and stuff. It's super confusing the first few times you go in.
Confusing.
It's like, wait, I thought we were in like the
Gray Wolf.
Oh, but no, we're in the Predator now. And like, this looks the same, except that one was gray and the other's brown.
Well, and in they're even made in the same... town, if not the same.
Yeah, they're mostly made in, I think, Elkhart, Indiana.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they're super mass produced. They're not built to last, you know, which is actually
Which is fine. Yeah.
You know, if that's what you can afford and that's what you need and you're not, like, you know what? There's that serves a great purpose to be able to go in and buy something great for like $15,000 or $10,000 or, you know, is great.
Yeah.
And so you see a lot of them on the road. And one thing, just one more thing about the R-Pod is they also had, it had the ability to do solar and to do a bunch of things. And so a lot of the companies are starting to embrace that as well, which is nice to see. Like you can start to get off the grid a little bit more.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about some of the other ones. Some of there are ones that I've seen referred to as eggshell campers.
Yeah.
And those are the little, they're so cute.
The scamp.
The scamp. We love the scamp.
They are so tiny.
They
I
are
think the scamp
so
is 14
tiny.
Feet.
They're so cute, though.
They're
white
really cute.
And they do look
they're
like little
fiberglass.
Eggs.
They're fiberglass. So they're fiberglass shells. Apparently, they started like a boat manufacturer.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, I can put two boat hulls
together
and
basically.
Make a camper.
Yeah.
And they are the like
two
three companies
see,
I think that make
there's
them.
There's three main ones I think.
Yeah.
There's Scamp, which is in Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's Casita, which is in Texas, I believe. And then there's a Canadian one.
There's
called,
a Canadian one. I can't remember.
Oh, I wrote it down. Escape, I think.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that what it was? Or
yeah.
I might be wrong.
No,
sorry.
I don't know.
Sorry, Canada.
But yeah, they're actually all made from the same molds from like the 60s.
Yeah, they have
but
a
they're
great,
really cute and
they're cute.
Really funny and like we got
and they're super
so
lightweight.
Close to buying a scamp.
They're super lightweight.
Yeah, they're like 1,000 pounds or something.
They're very
we got so close to buying a scamp at one point
we
actually called because we had heard they don't manufacture a ton of them and so you need to like you need to find out how long out they're building for.
Yeah, like these ones, you can't go to Camping World or some other place like that and just buy one. They just aren't, that's not going to happen. You can find them used online, actually, somewhat frequently, but you can't, you have to order them. And the great thing about that is you can customize them. They have these really cool, like almost modular interiors that are very kind of 60s retro looking. But the bad thing about that is...
So I called and I talked to this woman, you know, in heavy northern Minnesota accent. And she was like, well, you know, if you were to put a deposit down right now, it would be done in a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's just too long. And the Casitas, I think, were similar.
I think they're
a
little bit less.
Little
I think they
less.
Manufactured them at a little bit larger clip.
And I know the Canadian ones were longer, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
but they have a long lead. And some of these trailers, like, you know, I think even Airstreams, if you aren't buying one off the lot, it's a, you know, there's a lead
on
it.
You've got time,
But
they're really cute.
But they're so cute.
They're so cute. Every time I see them in campsites, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
they're so cute. And
they
they're
really
super
are.
Lightweight, so you can tow them.
And they, like... we were sort of delusional when we were like, well, we could get a 14 foot and have two kids and a dog in it. Like, I think that's outrageous.
Yeah.
But we if you're a 27 just a couple foot, or if you're a single person like, you know what, I want to hit the road. They would be awesome.
I know. They really would.
They, like, some of them even have tiny little bathrooms. Yeah. You know, like, they have teeny tiny little kitchens. They're very cute. They have a little fold-out bed, you know. Yeah. Like,
and I think they hold their quality and their, you know, value fairly well, considering, I mean, compared to some of the other models. Yeah, they're definitely cute. Those are the ones that we're like, oh.
I always
Another one that we always love, but that is completely impractical for our family, are the tabs. Oh, they're and those are the ones that
Are teardrops.
Those are true teardrops. And so teardrops are the little tiny ones. You've seen them being pulled by car, you know, just regular cars or whatever. They're just like tiny, and oftentimes they just have a bed in them, and they have oftentimes a pop-up in the back that has an outdoor kitchen.
Right.
They're so cute. And there's a ton of different companies that make them, but we looked at the tabs, and they are starting to make like
slightly bigger ones
that have bathrooms, that have like the bathroom shower combo.
Yeah.
But they're still just too small. They basically sleep two people.
Yeah, but they're awesome.
But they're really so well made. Nice. They're so that's really the one thing. Well, like,
Tab is one of the few trailer manufacturers that's really kind of taking a lead from Airstream and really thinking about the interiors and the aesthetics, you know, and, and really going with like lighter woods and you
and
know,
really nice looking
and like really nice looking stuff. As a result, nice they are also more expensive than, you know, the a trailer of much larger size, you know, but but yeah, they're super nice. There was a while we were at some RV show, what, like last spring, I think. Where we like sat in a tab for a long time, and we were like, okay, so could we pull this off? Like, what if we had something on the roof of the car that the 13-year-old slept in instead, you know? And like,
we were just no.
But they're really pretty.
They're
and
really,
really fun.
Pretty.
And you can, you know, I mean, you can get ones that are really, really small too.
Well, they also make like off-road versions that are really cool, like with big tires, and you can take them four-wheeling and stuff.
Yeah, they kind of look like and post-apocalyptic vehicles.
They're really cool. Those are awesome. And I would definitely recommend looking at them. If you're one or two people, I would buy those in a second.
Agreed.
They're so cute. There are other really cute teardrops out there, and a lot of customized ones that are just breathtaking.
Yeah.
You know, take a look at those. One I want to mention that I found kind of at some point when we were looking around is called the Alto, and they have a model called the Safari Condo, which is kind of a dumb name, but this one is really interesting to look at. I've seen them in person, but I've never been inside of one. We saw a few this summer.
Yeah, we saw a couple this summer.
Yeah, they make a couple different models. One that has a retractable, like a roof that raises up.
Because
retractable
they're like,
is not the right word.
No, but it's like a teardrop. It looks like a lot like a tab, but then you get to your campsite.
Yeah,
and
it raises
hit a button
up.
And the roof raises,
the
and it's got like glass or like plexiglass or
it
something.
Has something all along the. Like sort of like a half moon.
They're really cool looking.
They're really cool looking. It's a Canadian company, and we got so far as to, you know, me calling them and talking to them, and they're pretty pricey for a teardrop, but not completely outrageous. And they were just really cool looking.
Yeah.
Like, and I love the functionality of like a roof that raises and lowers because then it tows better. But I had to kind of wonder about those windows and like how cold that would be.
Right.
It looks like a trailer that might be a little too flimsy for cold weather.
Right.
And a little problematic in the leaking department. So yeah, I kind of wondered about that. But one trailer, this is another one that we actually came pretty close to buying.
Really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the Shasta Airflight.
Yeah.
Which is so cute.
So the Shasta Airflight is like a classic 60s travel trailer. Like, it like called a canned ham is, I think, what they're usually called.
And that's a whole other class of really great trailers.
Yeah. And it has like just beautiful two-tone paint on the outside. It has little wings that kind of stick out on the back. Like, it's just this beautiful vintage-looking trailer. You can find people that fix them up a lot. But the company that now owns Shasta, I think it's one of the major manufacturers, Forest River or someone.
I can't remember who it is.
They decided to remake the original ones. Mm-hmm. And so they created a, you know, newly built but entirely
looked like the original. In fact, the original, were based on the original.
Yeah,
floor
even
plan.
Inside, like real wood on the inside, and
they're
and
so
all of that.
Cute.
They were just
so cute,
super cute. They did a very limited run of them, and nowadays you would actually buy one used because I don't think they,
I don't
any
think
of them are available.
I don't
new.
Think they're making them anymore. Yeah,
but we actually, we went to a place and we looked at one, and we were really close to buying it. It was so beautiful,
but. There were a couple problems. The main one being there's like a table, you know, the dinette table in the front would have been like the main bed. And then there was like a little bench in the back.
Right.
That turned into a bed. But so that's really not enough room for
four. Yeah. It was definitely one of those things where it was like, we can make this work and like
squish,
kind of like
you
lying
know, now,
to ourselves.
But even the bench was not quite long enough for
our 13-year-old. Right. I remember the 13 who was probably what like 9 or 10 at the time.
Yeah, he was much younger.
You know, he was like, I can fit, see, and he like laid down, his knees were bent, you know, and it was like, this isn't, we're not going to be able to grow into this.
But honestly, my biggest problem with the design is when there's a bathroom in there that also is like the bathroom shower combo, all one unit. When the back bench was down, you couldn't open the bathroom
door.
Right,
when it was pulled out
into
a bed, the bathroom door wouldn't open. Because that was like,
The original one didn't have a bathroom.
Modern additions they did was kind of put retrofit this bathroom in, but they did not. You couldn't open the door.
You couldn't open the door. And I was like, that's a deal breaker for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But a lot of the older trailers and a lot of trailers, especially small ones, don't have a bathroom at all.
Right.
But especially some of the vintage, you know, many of the vintage ones, that was a very rare thing. So I was like, deal breaker. But they are really cute, and you can see them online. And we should say, like, we really love the vintage trailers. We considered them. But here's the deal. There are manufacturers that are making like vintage ones. There's even one called like Retro, and it looks really cute from the outside. And then you go inside and it looks like just a regular
weird
trailer.
Brown and tan.
Yeah.
Trailer.
And that was really disappointing. I mean, I scoured and scoured and scoured looking, you know, for a new vintage look trailer, and I just couldn't find the right fit. I'm just like, try a little harder on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's where the Shasta, they did make a really nice interior.
Inside.
But it just wasn't the right trailer for us.
Yeah.
But I have found that there's like canned ham communities online, you know, vintage trailer enthusiasts online. There's tons of people that completely rehab these and they make them beautiful, and they're not that bad of a price considering like all the work that's gone into them.
Yeah, so, and that they're totally unique and that they've been hand built.
Absolutely.
Know?
So that's a great option, I think. And a lot of these trailers are also lightweight. I mean, trailers used to be fairly lightweight and towed by regular cars.
Right.
So that's definitely a great option. I would say, you know, looking online, there's like RV Trader, and there's, if you're looking for an Airstream, there's Airstream Classifieds. I mean, really just a Google search if you're looking for a particular model will pull up.
There are even some sites that are like specialized in custom rehab jobs that then get listed. I can't remember the ones, but I used to kind of hang out on those a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it's just kind of seeing them and being
comes
up. What you can do with this stuff.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of options for used as well, which definitely brings the price down. And I think if you really want a vintage trailer, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
The new models did not impress me at all and did not feel vintage on the inside.
Right.
So that was kind of a disappointment. But one I have to mention, because I love it so much, and you may also have fun looking at it online. Our neighbors got this.
Oh,
it's a incredible. Okay, GMC made these motorhomes. These like basically they're giant buses that have been like stretched out.
Yeah.
You know, like imagine a Scooby bus and then just stretch it out.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. They only made them for like 3 or 4 years or something in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I think it was early 70s. I didn't actually look it up before this, so don't quote me on that. But they're gorgeous. They're like cool vans that are like complete groovy, like plaid covered shag carpeting.
Round windows round in the front. Yeah.
So just search for GMC motorhome and you will have so much fun looking at them. And there are special sites and people that deal in them. Our neighbors have one and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think you have to know a lot about mechanics to deal with
like
one.
Auto mechanics.
Yeah.
If you know how to kind of keep an old car going, that's the trail. That's the motorhome for you.
Yeah, if you like to tinker and work on engines and understand
that. Because the reality is, they're 40-year-old trailers.
So,
you know, I mean, they're 40-year-old engines.
We were kind of considering that because our neighbors got a really good price on it. You can find them around, you know. But then we heard it drive down our street. We were out walking the dog and they drove by us and I was like, no thanks.
I don't think we can pull
that off. It just is an old engine.
Yeah, but they're really cool.
But they're really cool. So anyway, special shout out to the GMC motorhomes. Yeah. You might want to take a look.
It's very easy to look at things at the top of the price range and to be like, oh, we can never afford that. And by that, I really do mean Airstreams.
Besides the Class A's, those giant motorhomes, Airstreams are the most expensive by far.
And, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before, but like, I mean, we've traveled for two decades together now, you know, and with our family for 13 years, you know, and we knew that this was a lifestyle that we already did, you know, and that we wanted to continue. And then we had kind of the additional circumstances of your cancer and realizing like, hey, if this has been a dream of ours, we need to move on.
We need to do it,
But like, I think for a lot of people, including people listening to The Hitch, like this might be new. And figuring out what you can afford and to try it out, you know, like, It's a step, you know. You don't necessarily need to get the greatest and best, you know, from jump. Like get one that works for you and your family and figure out, you know, what's possible. You know,
I mean you can change it in a few years if you find that something else is a better fit, you can trade it in. I mean most dealers take trade-ins. I mean, you might not get a great deal, but you know, I mean there's a lot of options, and some of these ones that are less expensive, maybe they're not built to last. But again, like we said before, that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
And before you freak out too much on the small size of them, think of it. I always think of it as like, well, we spent like decades sleeping in a tent.
Or,
you know, we spent many times in hotel rooms together. Yeah. Those are small spaces.
Yeah. Slept in the back of your pickup truck, you know, many times.
If you're already tent camping, like any trailer, any small trailer is going to be a step up from that.
Exactly.
So, you know, don't worry too much about getting like this huge thing. And there's a lot of ease that comes with smaller too. Yeah. Like I feel
and also, even if it's not a purchase you're making right now, like it is so fun to just go and dream.
I mean,
we did that for years. And years.
I mean, that's how we ended up with Evangeline. We were just looking for an escape and just kind of have fun. But this is what I recommend. I mean, it's one thing to look at things online because I can look at some of these, you know, trailers and vehicles and stuff like online and just fall in love with them and be convinced that I want one.
Yeah.
But you have to go and sit inside of one. You have to see one in person. You have to open the cabinets. You have to sit in the driver's seat or think about what it would really be like. And that's where, like, most, if you're close to a city at all, there's typically RV shows that come like 2-3 times a year. Just do a search. You know, it'll pop up. It'll be at some convention center outside of the city. And those are great because you can go and it's like a huge, you know, space and there's just tons and tons of trailers and,
you can climb in them.
They're all open. They have brochures. You can ask the salespeople questions. Of course, they'd love you to buy one. But, you know, sometimes there's deals there. But we did that a bunch and that was what really gave us the feel of like what was going to work and what wasn't.
And also, and we, you know, there's about an hour from here is a giant RV place called Camping World, which I think is a chain.
Yeah, it's definitely a chain.
And like, we found that you could just walk in, walk past all the salespeople, and go out into the lot and never be bothered at all and walk around and
surprising.
Sit inside, you know, dozens of different trailers and Class C's and, you know, I mean, all of it. So,
well, and if you find a local dealer that, you know, you get to know or whatever, you can also talk to them and say, this is what I'm looking for. Let me know if you get one on trade-in or yeah. something. Or if, you know, if you really want an Airstream, talk to your Airstream dealer and say, look, I know used Airstreams go fast. I'd really like one between these years. If yeah. you get one, give me a call. I mean, that's assuming you can wait or right. whatever. But there's, you know, going regularly and seeing them, I think, is an important yeah. part. Because there have been so many that I thought, this would be amazing. And yeah. then you go inside and you're like, okay, you know what? Actually, yeah. this beautiful tab is incredible, but it is too small.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So, you know.
But yeah, I mean, that's really kind of the lay of the land on looking at trailers. And just go and look. And, you know, as you look, if you have questions yeah. for us, you know, drop us a line. Or if you've got other questions about hitting the road in, you know, one way or another, just let us know.
Yeah.
Information's in a second. Bye.
Bye. We'll be back next week with more road-tested advice for your own adventures. Let us answer your questions by emailing Evangeline at thehitchpodcast.com or by DM on Instagram at tincanevangeline. Please subscribe to The Hitch on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a review while you're there. I'm Janice Dillard.
And I'm Dan Sinker.
And we'll see you on the road.